Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. My name is Matt Wolf, and I'm here with my business partner, Joe Fear.
Oh, hello.
And we've got another awesome guest today. Today, we're going to be talking about webinars with our good buddy, John Schumacher. And John is just he's a webinar ninja. I mean, together all of the smartest minds in webinars and gets them all to like divulge their best webinar strategies. He actually does, you know, consulting in the $10,000-$15,000 range to help other people with their webinars. He's doing a lot of amazing stuff in the webinar space. So we're really, really excited to have him here today. And thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
All right. Hey, Matt. Hey, Joe. I'm excited to be here and talk about one of my favorite things, and that's how to use presentations like webinars to, you know, educate people, build rapport, and ultimately gain more clients. So I'm excited to have this discussion.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, we've got a webinar going right now. So very selfishly, we're very excited about this call as well.
Let's talk. Let's see what we can come up with.
Well, I guess for the straight up newbies and people just don't know who are what webinars are, maybe the types of webinars, can you just kind of give a quick overview of, you know, the types and, you know, the purposes, things like that?
Yeah, so there's the live, there's the recorded or evergreen, and then there's the hybrid version, which is a blend of both of those. So basically, for those that are brand new, a webinar is basically just an online seminar, right? It's a seminar that's on the web. That's how they came up with the name webinar, and it allows you to have your best presentation, you know, put forth one to many online. So instead of having to get into a room with a bunch of people, you can sit at home in your boxer shorts and have, you know, hundreds of people around the world experience your best presentation one to many. So it's really the most powerful online conversion point that I know of. If you guys know of something else, let me know. But it allows you to reach a bunch of people at one time with your best sales or offer presentation one to many with people around the world. So there's the live version where you obviously hit the button and you're doing it live with an audience. There's the evergreen version, which I've done a lot more of recently, where basically you can have your best presentation running 24/7, 365 around the world. And then the hybrid version is just simply doing some of it live and some of it recorded. So you might start live and say hi to everybody. You might have a portion that you record or inject. It could be a teaching section, could be a testimonial or something. And then you come on in the end and answer questions and stuff like that. So those are the three main types.
Yeah. And one thing that's really awesome about webinars that we've noticed is that you get some of the best opt-in rates on webinars. It's mind-blowing. You know, we'll build, you know, squeeze pages and drive people to various offers, but nothing seems to build our list faster than putting on webinars. Mm-hmm. Have you found something similar?
Yeah, I mean, webinars are great for list building, you know, great for rapport building. I think it was Frank Kern who said that, you know, there's a certain percentage higher of total customer lifetime value for people who entered his business from webinars. So I think there is some value of leading up front with a presentation. And obviously, if someone's willing to give you their time up front like that, they're going to be more likely to become a customer. I think so. I mean, I think lead costs are potentially a little higher on the front end for cold traffic than like a lead magnet, but still, it's still a great tool, a great list building tool for a number of reasons, right?
And that leads us into a pretty good thing, because a lot of our leads, most of them, all the new ones come from cold traffic. So advertising on Facebook mainly, and, you know, retargeting, things like that. Where do you normally get your traffic from, or where do you see your best, you know, your best converting traffic coming from?
Well, of course, you know, if you have a list, like, you know, like Cody and I have a list, we both have email lists and stuff. So that's an easy source to get people, generally a higher registration rate, because they know you, right? I mean, they already know you. They've experienced your teaching style. They hopefully like you. So you generally get higher sign up rates from, you know, like your own list, your own resources, you know, and then JVs, of course, are, you know, another potential source of traffic that's generally a little bit warmer than cold traffic. But ultimately, I mean, we've been doing a lot of paid traffic lately because it's the scalable thing. We're trying to dial that in.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if you can make paid traffic work at scale and get a good return on ad spend, then, you know, you really have something that can grow really quickly. So, you know, there's good and bad in all of that. I mean, I like to start organically with a new project. So we'll run our webinar through our lists and stuff first, you know, and then we'll look to to gather some data from that. Of course, it's going to be a little bit warmer, mm-hmm. and then go out into the blue ocean of kind of paid traffic more and things like that.
Yeah, and I guess we've done a little bit of both, where we've started with cold traffic and then also to our list, because yeah, like you said, if you can perfect cold traffic, at least ROI on that somehow, then yeah, I mean, going to affiliate, you know, JVs and warmer endorsed traffic it should convert much more.
I mean, our goal when it comes to webinars has always been, let's get it converting as well as possible to cold traffic, because we know it's going to convert slightly better when we start allowing affiliates and stuff to promote to it.
Yeah, I think that's fine if you have the budget up front to spend and test. So yeah, I mean, obviously you need to have some money aside for that. If you're going to go straight to cold traffic, then that's fine. But yeah, we generally start organically first, mm-hmm. with our list. That's kind of what we do to get some data on the funnel a little bit. I know it's not exactly like it's going to be with cold traffic, but
for sure,
that's just kind of how we've operated.
Now, yeah. What would you say to somebody who doesn't really have a list and they've got a fairly small, if any, budget at all, but they're interested in kind of going in, down the route of doing webinars?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all start at zero, or, you know, none of us come out of the womb with a list or anything like that. So there's, you know, if you have no list or no budget or really no partnerships, you're going to start smaller, right? I mean, that's just I started smaller. I remember had my first sales webinar, I had like 30 people on there, but I still made, you know, some sales and was got excited about it and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to start smaller if that's you, but you know, the thing to get going quicker is, you know, so practice the technology, make sure you have that down, practice your presentation, you know, try to gain access to maybe a few people's, you know, audiences. Like, you know, my first 130 subscribers through webinars, I got just because I did a webinar for a Facebook group, right? Like I got permission to host that for somebody. So if you're just starting out, you know, or if you've been in the game a while, and you guys know this, you know, having relationships with people can speed that up, right?
Like, for sure.
Because after I did my little Facebook group webinar, I had a whole 130 people, you know, on that list. What I'd done is I had a connection to another guy who was a video marketer who had a big list. And, you know, even though I couldn't possibly reciprocate for him because I didn't have much of a list, he had about a 10K list. He still liked me and liked what I was doing, and he agreed to do a webinar with me. Right.
Wow.
And so he put on, you know, another 300 or 400 leads through that webinar, you know, in one shot. And, you know, I just kind of, that's how I started out, was really doing little partnerships with people. And, you know, we'd get a few hundred, you know, leads here and there, and make, you know, a few grand in sales here or there, and then just kept kind of growing from there. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I think for a lot of people starting out, I mean, there's really only a couple ways to do it, right? You can try to find, you know, friends and partners to kind of co-mingle with, because you don't need to pay. I mean, you have to pay an affiliate commission, obviously, but you don't have to pay on the front end usually for something like that, right?
Right, right.
So that's one idea. It's not, you know, that's the tricky part. It's like a rocket ship, right? It's like a rocket ship uses 80% of its fuel to leave the launch pad.
Mm-hmm.
But once it leaves the launch pad, it goes back to the moon and back on 20% of its fuel. So, you know, business is that way too, right? When you're starting out with nothing, no assets, you know, you got to kind of scrap it together a little bit.
Yeah. I like the idea of going back to that Facebook group approach, because I mean, now more than ever, I feel like, you know, there's so many big Facebook groups out there that are targeted in different niches. And if you can provide some kind of value like you were doing, and this goes for a one-on-one, you know, relationship too, but it's all about providing that value to try to get that partnership, or maybe teach something to that group, you know, and you can kind of direct them to, you know, maybe it's an opt-in page or whatever, live video, even on Facebook these days.
Yeah. I have a student in my academy who started his whole business just doing that. And like, so you need to get permission, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was, you know, in a fairly non-competitive niche. It was actually in like the soil restoration niche or something like that. It's like an environmental niche that his partner and him were selling a pretty sizable course. He actually is packing people onto these webinars just by getting permission to post in these Facebook groups. I mean, he was getting, you know, he added over 1,000 people, I think, to his list from these groups pretty quickly, and started getting people to his webinars pretty quickly with that. So it is one option. Facebook groups can be a good option. Obviously, you don't want to spam the groups.
No. Yeah.
But yeah.
Very cool. Now let's shift focus and talk a little bit about doing automated webinars, because you've got some pretty good strategies and good systems around actually automating the webinars. So I'm curious what your process looks like, and then maybe we'll dive a bit deeper on individual things.
Yeah, I mean, processes in like the structure of the funnel, or what are you guys looking for there?
Yeah, I'm looking for like the structure, how you flow, you know, how each piece fits together and what are the pieces to it?
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, if you're selling a product direct on webinar, or if you're trying to get like applications.
Let's start by discussing if you have a product you're trying to sell. Let's say you're trying to sell an info product through a webinar. Let's start there.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, obviously you need a traffic source, but, a registration page, a thank you page. I think a thank you page is one of the most underutilized pages on the internet, right? I think that that's the only page everybody's going to see, everybody who signs up. Mm-hmm. So I like to have some kind of a video or some kind of a bridge there to start authority building and teaching and getting people excited and understanding the next steps. Depending on how soon the webinar is, if you're doing just in time or if it's like, delayed, you can bridge off the thank you page or off of a welcome email into some content to start pre-building before the webinar, because not every attendee is the same, mm-hmm. right? Like if people have more touch points prior, they're going to be more likely to want to buy from you. So I think that's a big page. The live room, obviously, we got to have a live room. Most webinar softwares like Easy Webinar, Stealth, EverWebinar, all these they have this funnel already sort of pre-built for you.
Right.
But yeah, the live room, of course, you're going to, have a presentation. One of the key mistakes I see people making on their presentations is over-teaching. I do this all the time instead of inspiring people emotionally with reframing mindset beliefs and telling compelling stories. We tend to try to teach the process too much, and people clap their hands, they walk away, thanks a lot, but they don't necessarily buy your product or service. So I think, having that compelling presentation, that focuses on building you as an authority, getting people to really believe in that one thing you want to teach, using stories, reframing their mm-hmm. mindset a little bit is really key. And then the follow-up is really key, right? So most people will not even buy your product right on the spot, right? Like, it depends on the price point, obviously. I have one that I sell a $1,000 course on. And I would say the majority of the sales come after the webinar. So
that's interesting.
So I have about a 11 email sequence over 4 days, I think. And I have like 4 emails the last day, and I use Deadline Funnel on the back end. So I have authentic deadlines and stuff like that. To create that process. But how many touch points do people need on average for $1,000 course people that really don't know you? I mean, they need usually more than one. So if they've consumed more of you, they've gotten some of your messages, and there's a compelling deadline and compelling offer, then it makes it more likely to hit.
So I have 3 things from what you just said, because that was pretty amazing right there. That was literally like from the front to the end, from getting the traffic all the way to making money. Amazing. So indoctrination, right before the webinar, or maybe it's before the opt-in. I know you talked a little bit after, on the thank you page, getting them to know you a little bit more. But this is more important, obviously, with cold traffic coming from, say, Facebook or something. Do you do anything in terms of Facebook ads or anything prior to even the opt-in to get them to know you and trust you?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like
with any kind of content or something like that.
Yeah, we've played with that, Facebook Lives on the front end, and then, let's say, depending on how long it is, you could do, retarget 10-second viewers or 25% viewers so you could run a video view campaign, right, on the front end and get people from there to, a webinar or a lead magnet, and then behind the lead magnet, you can, bring in, a little bit of a warm-up sequence.
Yeah,
and retargeting and all that. So you can get pretty complicated with that stuff. For a lot of people, their head's going to blow off their necks, from trying to set that up. And there's a lot of pieces to test there too, right? So, that's why, honestly, guys, like the more that I've played with this, and I certainly don't have all the answers, but, just kind of always experimenting like you guys are. But, it's such a pain in the ass to have to set up all these campaigns and do all this retargeting stuff. And I just, so right now we're doing a high ticket webinar funnel, just to lead magnet and then direct to webinar. The lead magnet's outperforming right now. But you know, it's so much easier if you're just selling something more expensive, and it's just so much easier to ROI your ad spend, even if you're paying more per lead than putting together all this complicated stuff.
That's,
I don't know, man.
That's good. That's helpful, because we've done both things. We're selling, like you said, $10,000 packages. Maybe it's coaching, but also a $500 product on a webinar. But then you're trying to drive paid traffic. So like you said, it's hard to ROI. You need to really dial in that conversion on the webinar or in the follow-up.
It's tough in the U.S. and Canada. You know, the lead costs have gone up a lot. I remember a couple of years ago, I could run ads, just target like one fan page and get like, you know, $2 opt-ins, you know, right from Facebook. You know, it's really a lot tougher to do. I mean, we are getting, we're getting some ad sets, you know, some ads that are getting like $2.50, $3 an opt-in to a lead magnet. We have, you know, finding the right lead magnet can be helpful in front of your webinar as well. Because a lot of that, you know, once you get the lead, you can opt, you can follow up, you can invite them to the Evergreen webinar, you can retarget them, you can do all kinds of stuff too. So, it's a lot. It's, I don't know what you guys are seeing on your ROI and ad spend from lower end products, but it's just, you know, from the numbers that I've seen so far, it's harder to get that 300% ROI from, you know, even a $1,000 course, you know, versus, you know, selling a, you know, a higher end $3,000 to $5,000 to $10,000. You know, experience or coaching or done for you or something, you know, it's just easier. It seems easier to get a good return.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the process, too, is going to be on the back end. I mean, right now we are running traffic to a webinar that pitches a product that's $500. But then once you're on our list, we've got about 10 other products we're going to offer you over time. So, I mean, you got to take some of that into account that, yes, maybe we are paying, you know, $5 per lead to get onto our list. But they may not buy our $500 product, but they'll probably buy something from us along the line.
Right. Yep. And it's about the lifetime value and trying to map that out. And, you know, it's just, which I don't know how you guys are tracking all that or how, I mean, you guys are experts obviously, and you probably could, you know, teach me a few things on tracking and customer journey and all that stuff. But it is, you know, like you say, right now we're just digging the simplicity of having a high end offer. Now we're probably going to add something, you know, we're selling, you know, between a $10,000 to $15,000 package right now.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being simple, man. I love that. I mean, that's honestly where we want to. I mean, with this specific product, we're not going to be charging that much for. But you know, like a coaching done for you, something like that makes perfect sense.
Well, and a lot of people are selling, you know, like 6 to 8 week, you know, content with coaching experiences for $3,000, $5,000, like on as their front end offer, which, you know, I think, you know, if you go from webinar to application to a salesperson, that can make sense, you know.
So. Oh yeah, I've done a lot of that in a previous business where it was selling 10K up, and it was all selling that application exactly like what you said, and you just load people up and have a couple sales guys or women behind there, and you know, just making calls. Now there were two other points I was kind of extracting, at least personally, from that little explanation that you gave. The second thing is telling compelling stories inside of your webinar presentation and kind of hitting that emotional touch point rather than over teaching. Is there like a process or maybe the top things you like to say to actually create these stories, you know, maybe for people who aren't that good at kind of pulling those emotional points out of their teaching?
Yeah, so and I know, so the main goal of your webinar is obviously to get them to believe, you know, one big thing, right? And that's you know, whatever the topic is of your webinar, what you're trying to get them to believe so that they ultimately want to become a client or a customer of yours. Mm-hmm. So the stories need to be pointed around some of the key false beliefs that people would have about that one thing, you know, if that makes sense. I think Russell Brunson does this well in his framework, you know, where he has, you know, people believe one thing and then I think he uses the three secrets sort of model. And those secrets are around their mindset beliefs, right? Like about themselves, about what you're teaching, you know, all of these things. So it's good for you to be able to tell personal stories, really, you know, like a personal story, like, like for webinars, for instance, it's, you know, for beginners, it's, oh, the technology is too difficult or too, you know, hard to do. So if I'm selling a beginner course, I need to have them not think that, right? Otherwise, mm-hmm, they're not going to take action. So I need to tell a personal story, like about myself, you know, maybe how I was brand new. I have no computer background, no business background. You know, I hired a coach, you know, for $300 an hour. She showed me how to use Google Hangouts back when that was new, you know, and I tell a quick story, and then I'll tell a quick story about maybe a client of mine or something who was also non-techie. So the stories need to relate to the false belief that you're trying to address, you know?
Right.
And so I like to have, you know, someone like, you can use the Phil felt found method, you know, for yourself. I know how you feel. I felt the same way, but what I found was this new way or something like that. Right. And so you can use the Phil felt found method for your own stories. You could use for your own client, same thing. Like, she felt this way, but you know, what she was doing was this, but what she did after I helped her was this, right? And so you kind of use the before, during, and after, or the, you know, model, or the feel, felt, found method to kind of frame your stories.
Right. No, I love that, because it allows you to teach a little bit, or present, maybe it's a case study that you've, you know, with a client, like you said, but then building that emotional story around there. Because I mean, just being transparent with our webinar, I think that is something where... We love teaching, you know, we just really love just kind of putting it all out there. But obviously, you know, people come for the teaching, but they also come to be told, you know, emotionally how, you know, where to proceed next. And you know, kind of feel like they've been related to and things. So, yeah, that's actually something we'll probably go and revisit in our own.
it's fun because I like to teach. I'm a teacher. I don't really like selling stuff. I mean, I enjoy the income, and like, you got to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. But you know, and it's hard. Like, I've done different types of webinars. I've done like screen share. I have one right now that's just a screen share of a funnel. That actually does pretty well. I'm surprised, even though it was mostly just teaching, but that one's not necessarily, that's more of a back end webinar.
Yeah.
Not cold traffic to it kind of webinar. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we got to move people. If the goal of the presentation is to get them to work with you, we got to get them to believe that they can do it, that they got to believe in you. They got to believe in the opportunity, the new opportunity. And they got to get excited about that. And stories, as you guys know, you know, really help anchor that in. So, yeah. You know, but if we just teach them, I mean, you can't possibly teach them everything they need in an hour webinar.
Nor do you want to. You don't want to overload them. And I mean, they should be taking action further, you know, with your own product or whatever you're selling later on. So you got to just kind of get them kickstarted and believing that you have more for them that'll change their lives.
And that was hard for me because I really don't like coming across as the kind of IMer type of folk, you know.
Right.
And so it was hard for me to get away from the overteaching piece, and I still struggle with that sometimes because I just like, here, I just want to give you guys this stuff. I don't care, but ultimately it is more effective, you know, from a, you know, if you want to gather applications, or if you're spending money on traffic, it's your business. You got to make money, right? Otherwise, you're just not gonna be able to do it. So it is a business, and we are running businesses, so we need to find the right people to become clients, or we're just not going to be in business. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, last thing, and I know I've been kind of taking this. But Matt can pop in here, Matt.
I'm just waiting for you to finish your three questions.
Three is the follow-up. I just wanted to explain, like, hear what... Okay, so this 11 kind of email follow-up sequence that you have there, maybe the nuts and bolts, or just describing that a little bit more.
Yeah, so the goal is selling a product, you know, it's a little different follow-up than an application kind of follow-up. But, you know, if you're selling a product, like, directly through that webinar... I usually do like a 4-day 11 email sequence. I use Deadline Funnel to redirect, you know, from a special offer. So I'll have some kind of special incentive. Could be a bonus or pricing or both. But there needs to be some kind of incentive, evergreen incentive, authentic evergreen. That's why I use Deadline Funnel. So if they, you know, it tracks their IP and their, and their, you know, their browser cookie and all that stuff. So if they don't do it, then they don't get it, right? And so I feel good with that. I wouldn't want to do like a fake scarcity. I just don't feel good about that. So I do that. Those emails mainly talk about, they do a lot of storytelling, so they share a lot of case studies. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to get them excited with stories. One thing I'll do with the replay page, I'll actually take my sales page and I'll have the replay of the webinar at the top. And they'll have a scrum bar so they can with timestamps underneath that. Because most people, if you look at replay watch numbers, the length is much shorter than the actual webinar, right?
Right.
People generally, if they know it's a replay, they're like, let me hurry, you know. So mm-hmm. What I like to do is try to give them timestamps of the key pieces so they can use the scrum bar to go right where they want. On that same page, there's the entire offer is laid out too. So it's sort of an offer page / replay page. That's what I'll link to from the emails. Sometimes it's good to create a PDF if you can. I don't think I've done this for my webinar yet, but I've heard this works, and you guys might want to test it. It's just creating a PDF of the main points with a link to your offer page throughout the PDF. Especially if you're going to do evergreen, that way some people like to just scroll and consume that way or read.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an option to have in your follow up. But yeah, mainly like an FAQ email, some stories. On the front end, usually the first email is a recap, kind of, and a recap of the offer. Then I get into stories, case study examples, an FAQ email, and then usually towards the end, it's like four emails the last day that really push.
Deadline, yeah.
Put the deadline, you know.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's actually one other little point of the whole, flow that I wanted to dive in. You were talking about the thank you page being the sort of most underutilized page. I'm curious, what type of messaging do you put on that page, or what do you recommend people put on that page? Is it typically, do you try to offer them something to sort of liquidate your ad costs immediately, or do you do something that indoctrinates them, gets them excited to be on the webinar, or a combination? So I'm just kind of curious what sort of philosophy you have behind the thank you page.
I think having an offer there is a smart idea in a lot of cases. It's something I haven't done a lot of. I have done that with like lead magnets, like having a self-liquidating offer and those type of things. So I think that's something that could work in many cases, right from the thank you page. To date, it's mostly been to get them excited about my webinar.
Mm-hmm.
I usually have a video. Sometimes I'm on video. I have a whiteboard room that I can go and talk on the video if I want, just so people can see me and hear me and kind of warm up to me. And I do a little bit of like overview teaching of what we're going to talk about on the webinar. Sometimes I'll have lines on there. Like if we're doing if we're covering three things, like I have like blanks on the board and we're going to cover these things and fill these in just to kind of get people excited to fill those in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's mostly been just a little bit of like warm up teaching and kind of warming up to me. But I have a survey usually on the thank you page so I can continue to gather data like on what they're struggling with I'm trying to get them also to take little commitments as well, mm-hmm. Throughout that process. But that's what I've done mostly, but I think it could be, I know some people are using that thank you page to sell like a lower end offer and those type of things, which, could be worth a test.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always, we've tested both ways. I'm always a little concerned putting an offer right there might sort of cannibalize sales on my actual product offer on the webinar. So there's those sort of considerations that you got to think about and test as well.
But I like the idea of the micro commitments, like you were saying. So maybe mm-hmm. it's like print out this sheet and have it in front of you during the webinar so you can fill in the blanks, like you said, or fill out the survey prior to the webinar, just so we have some, maybe you can say something like, this helps us kind of create a better presentation for you, whatever it might be. Little things like that.
Now, what technology did you say you were using for the webinars?
Right now I'm using EverWebinar.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, I'm not like in love with it. I've used Webinar Jam for a long time. They've had some ups and downs recently with the Google Hangout changes. EverWebinar is obviously independent of that, right? You can host it on another service or something like that. But yeah, that's what I'm using right now. I'm also looking at EasyWebinar. Casey Zeman's a good friend of mine, and mm-hmm. I'm looking at potentially going over that way too. So, that's what I'm using right now.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, we are actually just using the most simple sort of like ClickFunnels funnel for our automated webinars right now. So there's, not nearly the technology behind it as like what an EverWebinar or an EasyWebinar would provide, but doing the trick.
Well, tell me about that, because I mean, we're actually building our own custom ClickFunnels template right now to use with clients. We're having a designer build one, and we were thinking of using just native ClickFunnels for the Evergreen webinar, just to go. We don't need an extra expense for clients and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's real simple. I think it's fairly obvious that it's an automated webinar, but I think
it's fine.
I think people are sort of beyond that. I think people kind of, it's not a secret, you know?
Right.
And you know, we never do anything that says like, hey, join this live webinar. We never ever mention the word live if it's not live. But yeah, I mean, ClickFunnels, the registration page we're using converts better than any registration page we've ever used in the history of our business for cold traffic. Yeah, I mean, it's just a real simple sort of replay page. And ClickFunnels put some sort of overlay over the page that makes it so they can't click on the video and, you know, pause the video or anything like that. But other than that, it's just a real simple. When they land on the page, it says comments are currently turned off for this webinar, and it auto plays the webinar, and there's a overlay over the video itself so people can't pause it or see the controls. But other than that, it's pretty simple. And then there's a time delayed button that pops up right around the time we mention the price.
Okay, so there's an order pop in that you can put in, and those type of pieces, just like with every webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, is there a lot of good data from that? Can you see like when people drop off and stuff like that?
No, that's sort of one of the downsides of using ClickFunnels, is that their reporting isn't the greatest. You know, we can see how many opt-ins we're getting. So we could see the traffic, the opt-ins, our opt-in conversion rate, but we're not using ClickFunnels for our checkout. We use ThriveCart for our checkout. So, you know, we don't even get our sales data out of ClickFunnels. All of our videos are hosted with Vimeo. So we get our sort of engagement data from looking at Vimeo. We could see in Vimeo how long the average customer sticks, where the largest drop-off points are, that sort of thing. That comes in when we check into our stats on our Vimeo player.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's doing the trick for us, and it's what we found to be the simplest, quickest way to get something live. We've used EverWebinar as well. We do like EverWebinar, but I mean, I'm sure you're aware the process to get a new webinar up could be fairly time consuming. Even once the video is made, there's just so many steps and so many options and so many boxes you got to fill out. And, you know, ClickFunnels just seem to be quite a bit quicker to just get something online and get traffic driving to it.
Yeah, sure. I'm excited. Yeah, we're going to build out, like you say, a custom template for high ticket template, you know, a webinar template. We're going to build that out. So anyway, cool. Thanks.
Good awesome. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, where are we at, Matt? I just want to make sure we're not going too far here.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking good on time. We got a couple more minutes here. There's one new question that I've never asked people on the show, but I heard it on a different podcast, and I said I'm going to totally steal that question because I love it.
Do it.
So here's my question. Is there one sort of tip, trick, hack, something, some sort of actionable piece that you can give our audience before we close it out? And what I'm looking for is something that, as you're saying it, you're thinking, man, I can't believe I'm sharing this for free. I'm looking for just some really good like nugget that's actionable that somebody could go and take away and implement if they're doing webinars.
Yeah, geez, one thing, huh? There's like a million different options.
Hey,
in my
if you
head
want to
here.
Give me more for free, I'm open to it.
well, we've already given so much.
I know,
away for free. Yeah, I think the big thing. Yeah, so here's the thing. I'll give you this, and I don't know if it's, you know, what it's worth or what, but here's the thing. If you're brand new out there, you know, I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule, right, of webinars, and you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, all these little conversion trinkets. I know all of us geek out on that because we've all been doing this for a little while. But the reality is you just need to focus on the big three if you're just getting started. And ClickFunnels, like you say, could be a great option because it's simple and easy. You know, the big three are your offer. Like, no one gives a crap if you have a webinar. If your offer sucks, you're screwed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having a compelling offer that a specific market cares about and being able to position that effectively will make or break your webinar, right? No one cares that you have a webinar, you know, they care that you can help them, right? And so, you got to focus on your offer, your presentation, which is just, you know, the script, you know, like how are you positioning it? What's the message? It doesn't have to be the prettiest looking thing to start with. It's just, you know, it has to be a compelling message that gets people excited. Like we talked about some of the elements of that earlier. And then the follow-up, right? And so you don't need an 11-part follow-up, but you do want to have some kind of follow-up sequence in place with a specific deadline. Those are the big three, as I call them, with the webinar. And then beyond that, you test that, And then you can look to make it more complicated and tweak things and improve things and all of that from there, right? But the core elements are those things.
Cool. And fair enough to say, you can create a very profitable webinar with just focusing on those three simple things, you know, not complicating anything.
Well, one thing just from our discussion already that I'm really excited to look forward to is, or, you know, looking into more is that deadline funnel. I've heard that tool, that name thrown around, but I've never looked into it, never used it myself, never played with it. So I'm kind of excited to look into that and, you know, figure out ways to add new scarcity elements to our current promotions. So I think that's a cool little little trick that you've already sort of unveiled for people.
Yeah, that's Jack Bourne's software, right? And so you can use that at any point. Like, so you guys have multiple offers in your customer journey. You could have, you know, an element of time now, because I mean, people suck at buying things, right? Like, or they suck at making decisions.
Right.
So if you give them an incentive, you know, and a deadline for something, like, you know, a cost or a bonus or, you know, something compelling, they have to have a reason to buy now, right? Otherwise they just don't, you know, they just don't. So they got to give them a reason to buy now. And so, yeah, I mean, you could have, you know, like you say, a promotion segment in your customer journey for each product, and then use deadline funnel to actually have that be real evergreen scarcity. Like, oops, you missed it. Sorry. You know, like that's what I said was going to happen. And I kept my word, you know,
Scarcity, man. If you're not having those points of scarcity all over the place, then obviously you can do it. Price scarcity, time scarcity, quantity. I mean, there's so many different things in these evergreen funnels you could still do.
And the thing with evergreen is you can't really like close a program. Like, we're only taking four more students, right. You know, or like, you're like, bullshit, you know, so it's like, but you can, you know, do price increases. Like you could redirect them to a different offer page after, if the time expires or, you know, a bonus expiring or some, you know, some kind of incentive, you know, for people is going to help your rates a lot.
Definitely. You know?
So. Cool. Yeah. Just a couple final questions to wrap up here. We always like to ask people when they come on if they have any sort of book recommendations, any sort of book that you find yourself recommending often or that you kind of find yourself rereading, you know, once a year or so. Are there any books that you can tell people they should go check out?
Yeah, I'm a big reader. Let's see here. One I'm reading right now, it's not a business book, but it's called The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good book on, you know, one page a day to read for the entire year, and it kind of keeps your mind in the morning focused on you know, I don't know if you guys know stoicism, but, you know, keeping things focused, accepting things as is, you know, keeping things in your own kind of present moments. And I think that's a good one. What else am I reading right now? I mean, I just read Russell's new book. I thought that was well done. The Expert Secrets book. I think he did a nice job of giving very specifics. His four question sales script is really good. If you guys are doing anything on the phone, I think that's a really nice model to follow. In that book. Scaling Up is another one. I know you guys are big on systems. I think it's Vern. It's like because the guy who does Vern. He does the Gazelles program.
Yep, he's good.
Cody and I are reading that because we're looking to you know, bring on a few people here soon.
It's probably good timing for us to read that too, Matt. we're hiring a handful of people. Yeah,
we went from an organization of two people to an organization of about 10 in about a 1 month period. So,
But smartly, we're not scaling up too quick.
Very strategically.
Yeah, so that's a good book.
Those are some good books. I know Sam Carpenter has a book called Work the Systems. I know that's probably Work the System. That's another book that's kind of a similar book around.
That's a solid book. Yeah,
creating, you know, working procedures and all kinds of stuff for your business, and, you know, trying to get your ducks in a row a little bit before you just bring on random people and then no one knows what the hell they're doing. So,
and it's good for selling a business too. You know, if you're going down that route.
Yeah, building procedures.
Systems. Right on, man. That's I think I've read a few of those, and the Stoicism. That's a good book, just because you could read just that little bit every single day, the Daily Stoic, and get your head straight.
Yep. So, so this is the final question. Where do you want to send people after listening to this? What's your call to action for people after listening to this episode?
Yeah, so there's a couple of places. I hate having more than one, but if you guys really want if you guys are like listening to this right now and you're a coach, consultant, or agency who wants to implement a completely done for you, done with you, ads plus evergreen webinar system in your business, go to clientmint.com. That's my partner Cody Lister and I's brand new service that we're offering. He runs millions of dollars in paid traffic. I do the webinar stuff. And together we're putting together an offer to help consultants, coaches, and agencies who are selling high-end services actually build their actual systems with them and for them. So that's clientmint.com.
That's MINT.com.
Yeah, like client mint, like mint, mm-hmm. like a money mint, .com.
Yep.
And that's an evergreen webinar itself. So it's just an evergreen webinar that we put up right there. Otherwise, you can check out johnschumacher.com. That's my main kind of personal brand site. And I have a lot of free resources and content and stuff like that on the site.
Right on, man.
Awesome.
Yep. This is solid, John. I know personally, I can't speak for Matt, but I'm sure he will too. I'm going to review this podcast and take some notes just to beef up our webinars and future ones too. There's some a lot of little points here to take. So appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much.
See ya.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner Joe Fear, every single week we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.